Thanks so much for that introduction. I'm just going to jump right into this. To provide an outline of what I'm presenting on, I'm going to provide you a brief background on what silvopasture is, why honey locusts are considered compatible within silvopastures, and then I'm going to talk about a specific cultivar of honey locust tree called the Millwood. Then I'm going to go into my study rationale, my objectives, a few details about the methods and materials, and my results and conclusions. So silvopasture is a sustainable land use practice that integrates trees, livestock, and forages. And the idea is that trees would provide farmers with a long-term source of investment while the livestock are going to generate annual incomes. There are many benefits to silvopasture, but a few are increased animal comfort due to shade, increased nutrient cycling and soil fertility, and the diversification of production, and that includes long-term tree products such as timber, but also annual products like fruits and nuts, or in the case of honey locust, fodder for livestock. So the vision for the honey locust tree is that they would be incorporated into pastures as fodder orchards, where the honey locust seed pod functions as a late fall to midwinter animal feed supplement. The pods drop in about late October, and they can also be used throughout the farm for utility purposes. So there are a few improved varieties of honey locust, one of which is the Millwood cultivar. It was cloned in 1934 from a tree with high sugar pods, and it has been recorded that Millwood pods have up to 36% sugar, but that varies geographically, usually with southern sources having the highest sugar concentrations. They also, Millwood honey locusts, tend to have greater seed pod yields than conventional or common honey locusts. So this is a 13-year-old Millwood tree, and it's pretty typical of the yields that you would find on a good year within an Appalachian silvopasture. These are what the pods look like. This is from Chase 1947. They're about 30 centimeters long, about 3 centimeters wide. And only a few studies have found, have researched Millwood seed pods as livestock feed. And most of them are pretty old. In 1942, the Alabama Experiment Station found that ground pods could be successfully substituted pound for pound for oats in a dairy ration. And a few more recent studies have found that whole seed digestibility within the seed pods are very digestible for sheep. However, cattle cannot digest whole seeds, and it's likely because cattle lack the upper teeth to crack a hard seed coat. So kind of the rationale behind my study is that most of the data regarding the Millwood tree is from the gray literature. They're old studies, not peer-reviewed, their methods are kind of vague, and most of them are pretty old from the 1930s and 40s. There's very limited information on nutritive value, and there's little information with which to recommend management decisions for producers who want to use Millwood trees within pastures, of course. So my objectives of my study were two. First, I wanted to characterize the nutritional variability of seed pods among Millwood honey locust trees before pod drop. And then after that, I wanted to determine the changes in Millwood and wild type honey locust pod nutritive value after the pods dropped off the tree. So to do this, we studied 13 to 14 year old Millwood and wild type honey locust trees. These trees were planted in 1995 into cool season pastures. Their current spacing is 5 meters by 12 meters, which is about 100 trees per hectare. So in 2008 and 2009, to characterize the nutritional variability, we harvested 6 pods from all pod-bearing Millwood trees. And for the degradation study, we harvested 30 pods from 6 representative Millwood trees and wild-type trees. We composited those pods by tree type. And then we divvied up those pods into nylon mesh in situ bags, and we allowed them to degrade within a silvopasture over a period of 5 months, and that's November to March. I then went out and collected samples the first week of each month, and for those of you who are counting, that's 2 tree types times 5 months times 4 repetitions equals 40 in situ bags. So then once I collected them, I fractionated the pods and seeds and analyzed them separately. And statistically, we analyzed the data as a two-factor ANOVA with tree type and month as fixed effects. So to actually characterize a nutritional value, I used NIRS to give us a subset of 75 pod and seed samples that were used to generate a prediction model for about 300 pod and seed samples. To actually analyze this subset, for crude protein, I used combustion. And for fiber and digestibility analysis, we followed ANCOM procedures. Now, for true digestibility, I not only analyzed ground seed pods, but also whole seed pods to compare the difference between the two. So to jump right into the results of the pod characterization study, this is a busy slide, so I'm going to point out four main things. Both pods and seeds are relatively low in fiber content. Seeds had no traceable amounts of ADL. Both pod and or seed crude protein was about 3 times higher than pod crude protein, and seeds were about 20% crude protein. And also, digestibility of pods and seeds were pretty high, although ground seeds were a little bit higher. And just to put this in the context of conventional feeds, ground whole seed pods are pretty comparable to whole ear corn. That's kernels and cobs ground up together. So now that we kind of got an idea of what pods' nutritional value is on the tree, we wanted to look at how they degrade over winter after pod drop. And to do this, we need to address environmental conditions. And the main thing I wanted to address about this slide is that the year of 2009 to 2010, in the winter, we had much higher precipitation, about twice as high as in 2008 and 2009. In 2009, there was about 400 millimeters of precipitation, while in 2008, there was 230 millimeters of total precipitation. So in conclusion here, 2009 was wetter than 2008. When we analyzed this statistically, year had significant interaction effects with month and tree type, so we split it up and I analyzed the 2 years separately. Both 2008 and 2009 showed a general decrease in digestibility over time. 2008, that decrease was pretty slight. That was a dry year. A difference about 3 to 5 percentage units for each. And in 2009, the rate of decrease was a lot more. I think, Millwood was about 8 percentage units decrease, while wild type was about 16 percentage units decrease. So in general, wild types decreased at a greater rate than Millwood pods. Oh, and in general, Millwood pods were about 22% more digestible than wild type pods. So the patterns of NDF were inversely related to digestibility. As fibers went up, digestibility went down. For both 2008 and 2009, neutral detergent fiber increased over a 5-month period. 2008, that increase was pretty slight, about 3 to 5 percentage units, while in 2009, the increase was a lot more exaggerated. Let's see here. Millwood pods increased about 10 percentage units in 2009, whereas in wild type, it was about a 14 percentage units difference from November to March. So the other pod fractions, fiber fractions, changed with almost the same pattern as NDF. ADF and ADL both increased over both years. And so since they showed similar patterns, to simplify this, I just showed the November and March months for both 2008 and 2009. So if you see this, pod ADF for both tree types increased slightly from 2008 in November and March. And in 2009, that increase was a lot more exaggerated. And wild types pods had a greater rate of increasing fiber content. Crude protein remained similar over the 5-month period. However, there were small differences between tree type and between year. In 2008, wild type pods had about 1 to 2% more crude protein within the pods than millwood pods. However, in 2009, millwood pods had a little bit more than wild type. So it varies from year to year and from tree type to tree type. But generally, they stay the same over 5 months. Seed digestibility and nutritive value were pretty similar. They did not change over a five-month period. So I presented the treatment means here. Ground seed in vitro true digestibility for millwood and wild types were above 90%. There was only about a percentage unit difference between them. And ground seeds were about five times more digestible than whole seeds. And protein, NDF, and ADF were pretty similar, or statistically they were different, but it was only a difference of about 1 to 2 percentage units. So in general, seeds were about 29% of whole pod dry weight. So just to conclude here, millwood pods have a high digestibility and nutritive value, and ground seed pods are pretty comparable to whole ear corn. Pod nutritive value can decline appreciably after pod drop, especially during wet winters, and we actually recommend that if farmers are going to stock millwood pods within their pastures over winter, that they get them fed out before January. Although more digestible and less fibrous, millwood pods were more resistant to degradation than wild-type pods over time. And honey locust seeds may have less value for cattle unless you grind them up. And I'd like to just plug in one more conclusion here. Millwood honey locusts have a great potential to increase on-farm resources within Appalachia pasture-based systems. So with that, I'll open myself up to any questions that you might have. Yes?
Did you mention what are the expected yields?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. I actually hoped to include that in my presentation, but I didn't have enough time. We actually did do a yield study. I'm not gonna go into the details of how we did it, but we had 72 sample trees, and in 2008 those yields varied from 0.78 to 1.1 megagrams per hectare, and the average yield per tree, if you look down here at the bottom, they fluctuate from year to year. Millwood honey locusts have what you call an alternate bearing pattern, which means you have a high year of productivity followed by a low year, followed by another high year, and that's pretty constant. But if you take, and let me explain this briefly, these are laid out in different tree spacings. On a good year, an estimated yield of a high bearing year is about 2.27 megagrams per hectare, and that's about a ton an acre. But if I use the estimated average yield per tree I give it a value based upon an economic indicator of using oats, not only our study, but a few other studies found that oats are pretty comparable to millwood pods. Millwood trees planted 170 trees per hectare could save farmers about $375 per hectare in feed costs. So anyway, yes?
One more question.
Sure. What?
Table on condensed tannins.
Oh, no, I don't. We actually considered doing tannins for this study, but I just had too many things going on. So
do you know at all if there are condensed tannins in the pod and or the seed itself?
No, I don't. No.
See me afterwards and we can look at that.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Very much.